sick, God. Any of us are broken, God. We just thank you. We give you praise, God, and glory, God. We ask that you reach to the bottom of anything that may be happening in our lives that may be disturbing our peace in the mighty name of Jesus, God. And we pray that you continue to watch over the rest of this service, God. We ask you to bless this spoken word that's about to come forth, Lord. We ask that it not fall on deaf ears. We give you praise, honor, and glory for who you are and what you're doing out here in Colorado and the lives of your people. We give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We see my pastor, Pastor Ronnie Wilson. Amen.
Is he whomsoever shall not be offended. I couldn't figure out why. I just got that little pistol piece this morning, brother. I couldn't even figure it out. I cut it, that scripture, and I posted it in my message because I was pretty much done yesterday, and I couldn't figure out why that was in there. But I kind of figured it out since I've been here this morning. Don't be offended in me. Father, we thank you for the spoken word. We thank you. God is so good. We thank you right now, God, for your spirit. We thank you for your anointing and your power. Think through my mind, speak through my mouth, that your people would be edified and better after having heard the word of truth. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And we give you all the praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You can have a seat. As a matter of fact, don't have about three people say, I'm so glad you're here this morning. I'm so glad you're here this morning. I'm so glad you're here. If you don't feel comfortable, I'm going to get you in, got you. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're here. Say, I ain't dirty. You didn't die in Walmart. You ain't going to die here. You're all right. You don't die in the moment. You ain't going to die up in here. You're all right. You didn't die in Taco Bell. You ain't going to die here. Get brand new. I want to talk to you this morning about God extended time and a blessed season. You can't sit up here. Go back there, grab up Sister Avery. Y'all can't sit up here. Because I can hear, stay on a couple of here drinking out my water and my tea. Say, extended time. Y'all just think that was funny. If it was your kid, I'd be saying the same thing. They got to move on back. So extended time, God is going to extend some time in this season for people. Extended time. Everybody been talking about that they're blessed, but I want to tell you that it ain't over. Amen. God is saying that it's not over. And this is a time for the body of Christ. To where if we play our cards right, if you play your cards right, I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised and you're going to see some people that God kind of give them a second chance to get in this, what was for you a first wave. A first wave, second wave, but God got a plan about it. So John is looking at this thing and John got a problem. John's problem is that he locked in prison. He locked in prison. Do you realize that you can be locked in the prison of your mind? Nothing really going on, but you got all kind of problems going on up in here, and ain't nobody did nothing to you. You've been tormented by the devil. And here's the thing. He always, you know, some of these prisons, Minister, they've been worked in a prison before. Some of these, you know, you would think all these guards be on the up and up, but some of them be demonized. Imagine being in prison or jail, and you being tormented by a guard, and all he's supposed to do is watch you, but all he do is mess with you. Tormented in your mind, in your own home. And John got a problem with this because John is saying, hey, look here. I've been serving you. I've been giving. I've been serving. I've been showing. I've been doing all this stuff. I'm talking in the now, if he was here today. And here I am. I'm your man. I'm locked in prison. Yeah. I got a problem with this. And John asked Jesus. He didn't ask Jesus because he can't go. He's in jail. He sends his disciples. I thought that was interesting that John had disciples. He didn't say they were followers of Christ. It was his disciples. And they go to Jesus and they ask him, hey, John want to know. John wants to know if you are the one or should we be looking for another person? Another person. Because what he's saying, that word another, when you look it up, he's saying, if you are not the Messiah, I'm not wasting my time on you because I've been created to follow the Messiah. I was born to follow the Son of God, not anybody else. Now, he's saying if there's anybody else out there doing what you're doing, then you can't not be the one because the Messiah has come to die for the sins of the world. He is manifesting the kingdom of God into the earth. And he said, is there somebody else? Have you ever been in a place where you thought, about going a different route, even though you knew God was real. Now, he knew God was real. He ain't only seen the move of God. God worked miracles through his hand. How can God use a person and then they question whether he is real or not? If John can do it, you can do it. He's created for this. He had an encounter with Jesus while he was in his mama's belly. They come into each other's presence and they start leaping and jumping and dancing because they met the connection for their destiny and they was glad about it in the womb. How can John be questioning Jesus at this point? The same way we do. Here's the thing. A lot of time, you can be caught up in the will of God, and it may not be a perfect season for you, but it don't mean just because God ain't using you that he ain't got no plans for you. And John got a problem because I was the one being used. I was the one up front. I was the one preaching. I was the one singing. Whatever the case may be, I'm just shooting it from the standpoint of the church. But John is being used, and now God got him in a place of isolation because it ain't your time right now, John. The fulfillment of your life is going to be something else, but you don't bring it. But he got a problem with Jesus. Jesus tell him, Jesus, look what Jesus do. Jesus started working miracles. He called John's little disciples in there. He said, watch this, boys. He started curing people of their infirmities, their weaknesses in front of their face. People that were plagued with stuff. He started healing them in front of them. Evil spirits begin to come out of people. While Jesus is yet talking to him. And I don't even believe Jesus ever laid his hand on nobody. Very few people he ever touched. He's the Son of God, personified. The Word is Spirit. He can just walk into your presence and start talking to you, and devils start leaving your body. He can see him. Other people can't see him, but they start leaving people's body. I'm telling you today, even as we start talking and preaching this Word, demons just tormenting you. If you brought them in, you're going to start seeing them. Maybe not seeing them, but you're going to start feeling them lift from you. The heaviness is going to be gone. Because anytime you got a spirit of heaviness, dealing with a demon, because God ain't giving you a spirit of fear or heaviness, brother, but he's giving you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaven. I dare you, stand up this back of the hands right now. Real quick, you're going to do some great things for God. I was thinking about you this morning. I can't even remember your name. I just knew you were Eric before. What was it? Yeah, how in the world I forget that name? Blessing, I created this sermon for you. Because you are blessing. And then, hold on. I was really thinking about you this morning. Seriously. And here's the thing about you, is that that's something you're not really interested in this right now. But you've been created for it. I can't tell you how you're going to get to that point. But I will tell you this, that God said he's going to use your life mightily. Not only is he going to use you mightily, you are defensive about your mama. Almost like a protector, so to speak, in some areas. But he's going to use you as you grow into the will of God. That he's going to use you. And not only will you be a blessing to society, you're going to be a blessing to her. She's going to solve a lot of things. You'll solve a lot of things for her as you mature to who you are in God. Now, I can't tell you how you're going to get there. It may be some tough days, maybe some hard days. Either way it is, you're going to come back to that landmark of this word, and you're going to do everything God. He was created to do something different. And the devil won't ever be able to rob you. He won't ever be able to take you out. I don't care how bad your life ever turns out, God will always cause you to rebound because you've been created to be a blessing because you are a blessing. Amen. You are a blessing. Which means that blessing, you are a problem solver. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm not trying to act like some deep prophet. I hear what I hear. And I hear well, and you can deny it all you want to. It's going to happen exactly the way I said it. And you may not even see me no more, but you'll remember this. you created to be a problem solver. In Jesus' name. So let's get back to the lesson. He says, should I be looking for another? And Jesus says, no. He shows him the manifestation. He shows him, and then he says, don't take offense, John. Scandalizo. Don't be offended, John. God has said to me, anytime a person takes offense with me or what I'm doing in their life, the devil will trap them and he will cause them to stumble in situations that they used to walk on. Anytime you take offense with God, you give place to the devil. Anytime you start talking about, I hate my life, God is the author and the finisher of your life. You give God, you give the enemy place to it. I hate this place. I hate Colorado. God got you here. You don't think if God wanted you in Hawaii or Japan or in Georgia somewhere or South Carolina, you don't think God could have got you to Missouri? He could have got you back to New York City if he didn't want you there. And when you start talking about, I hate this place, you're opening yourself up to attack. It can explain why you've been attacked so much right now. Because you offended that God got you here. You offended where he got you working or where he living or why I got to do this, why not you? It's better than the alternative. The alternative is death. Say it's better than the alternative. You could be dead. Because in order for God to pass your mission off to somebody else, he got to get you out the picture, Jonah. He got to allow you to expire. When God called you to do something and you know you called to do it, the only way he can transfer what you were supposed to do to her, he got to get you out the way. Say it's better than the alternative. Don't get offended with God. God said that my assignment to you this morning, though, wasn't that. Say good news, Pastor. That wasn't that. My assignment is to tell somebody, God says, don't look for another. Don't look for another opportunity. Don't look for a better situation. I got you where I want you. I got you with who I with. You in the church you're supposed to be in, the job. I got you where I want you. He says, oh, you're going to miss the move of God. Don't start looking for another. Don't start looking for another. You know, there's people who, I mean, people grew up in church. And how do you wind up being in Buddhism? You didn't come from Buddhism to Christianity. You went from Christianity to that foolishness. How that happened? Somebody got offended with God and they started looking for another God.
Amen.
Another way to get it done. But how many know that Jesus says, I'm the way.
Amen.
I'm the truth.
Yep.
I'm the life. And nobody gonna see the Father but through me.
Yep.
You can't see the light unless you go through him. And so my assignment is to encourage you. That God says to let you know that God is on an assignment to bless his people right now. He says, I'm on an assignment to bless my people, to demonstrate to them that I am. He not, listen to this, he not trying to prove to you that he is.
Right.
Any human that walks the face of the earth, even if they say they're atheists, they have to know that there is a God. But just because you know there is a God, don't mean that you ever consciously demonstrated him. Now we know God has done things for all of us. Even while we were yet in our sin, he died for us and we didn't even know that he had died for us. But he did it for us way before you got to the point to know that Jesus was born to die for me. Not the Christ, Jesus was born to die. So you come to God, you come to God, he is demonstrating to you his ability as Savior, but he not proving that he God. He already know he God. He don't have to prove to nobody that he God. All you got to do is just live and you know there's a God.
Amen.
Come on, that's good.
So he said, I'm on an assignment to demonstrate to people that I'm God. And this is what he said to tell somebody today. He says, watch this, because it's going kind of go like this today. He says, I'm extending the time of this breakthrough period for you, this breakthrough season, so that you can get in it and believe in the now. He's extending it. So of the time, listen to this, Sister Avery, you will hardly ever see a whole bunch of, there will come a time, will it be, but most of the time, you won't see a lot of calamity happening in the world, and then God is not doing something to try to encourage his people and keep them strong. Hardly ever see that. So the fact that this thing is going to extend this season of torment, anytime the devil does something, God will never let the devil outdo him. Right. If the devil increases death, God will increase life. Yeah. If the devil starts stealing from people abundantly, God starts blessing them richly. Am I talking to anybody over here? If the devil starts attacking people physically, God will start healing people miraculously. He will never let the devil, you better pay attention to what I'm saying, because I hate to say, he'll never let the devil outdo him. When secular people start telling you that the devil is extending his season of death, God is extending his season of breakthrough and blessing.
Amen.
Every time he does it, God has a way for his people to not get caught up in that. Why? At least you start thinking like John. Are you the one, or should we be looking for another? Say, no, we got the real deal. We got the real
deal.
We got the real deal, brother. So let's look at this thing so you'll know I ain't just talking out my head. Let's start looking at this thing and see what God is trying to communicate to us. And I'm going to make it plain to some other folk today. Because his assignment is to bless his people, but he's doing it in a fashion where he's just extending his time period. I had told Deaconess Robinson and a few people, it wasn't with her, I was Apostle Clemens. This was a few weeks back. I said, man, I just feel like, you know, sometimes people come up with these cliches as the year ends. But sometimes they change the season and God wouldn't finish with the last one.
Right.
Because he really don't know 1 year from the next because he ain't functioning in time.
Right.
So because preachers try to be clever, they can change, they can get people to change a season or look away from a season. They can't change it. Look away from a season that God was trying to extend breakthrough blessings, signs, wonders, miracles, and healings. Economic empowerment, deliverance. I'm not talking to anybody, and they'll get them because they want to be clever and change it. But how many know? Sometimes God wants you to just stay right in the blessed season.
Yeah.
He wants you to just stay right where he's blessing you at, and don't do nothing. Don't take off your coat of many colors until you ain't got no more favor. Don't move out your promised land until you ain't got no more fruit. Don't you leave that brook until the water dry up. You stay where God puts you at. Say, this is an extended season for me. So God said, I'm going to do overnight, seemingly, or in a short period of time, what you couldn't get done in weeks.
Amen.
What you couldn't get done in months.
Amen.
Well, somebody better get happy because I know some people need some houses, people need college money, marriages messed up. Because I'm telling you, you can't let stuff keep going because time will overtake you. But God said, I'm doing this for you. I'm doing it for you. I'm doing it for you. I'm going to show you why God is doing it because I basically explained it way ahead of time. But he said, I'm going to do it what you couldn't do in weeks, months, and years. Say, God has put us in an unbelievable moment. An unbelievable moment. Say, God has put me. God has allowed me to be born in an unbelievable moment. So an unbelievable moment is this. An unbelievable moment is when God placed you into in a condition to where everything is wrong, but he making it right for you. Say unbelievable moment. It's when God is requiring nothing from us. Unbelievable moment. Listen to this. All God is requiring of us in this moment is to believe him.
Amen.
And believe that he is. Do you know how you can get a lot of people saved? Just walk with the blessing and it's so evident on your life that they'll come to you and ask you, what must I do to be saved?
Amen.
I ain't never had it this good. I've been working just as hard as you. I got more credentials than you. We grew up better than you, but yet God got you living better than me. What do I got to do to be saved? I look at you, and maybe you don't have everything that I have, but your marriage is so happy, and your children are well-mannered. What must I do to be saved? You always got a smile on your face. You don't walk around like you're sucking on lemons. What must I do to be saved? No, all we got to do is just believe God. Tell somebody, say, get your faith up. See, what the enemy wants people to do is start detracting us to really Like I said before, go after people that God has already been trying to get saved. But he wants you to participate in what he's doing right now. Go to Amos 9. Go to Amos 9. All you got to do is trust God. Accept his word is true. Do you know why a lot of y'all have a marital problem? Because when I counsel, or when they counsel on Zoom, you don't believe it. It's for you. You don't trust the word. I just looked at the seek in for a minute. So if you don't trust that word, you look for another one. What are you trying to get you to come up economically? I got enough. It's not about you having enough.
Yeah, right.
It's about you having all that God wants you to have.
Amen.
See, because people can settle with all my bills are paid. Yeah, you don't have no reserve though. So I sent people for you to bless, and all you had was gas money because you didn't believe that you needed no reserve. So you be fighting against the word. You be fighting against the word. You won't believe the word. What is the requirement for participating in this extended season? All you got to do is believe in God and believe his word. Now if I was preaching some old hocus pocus and I wasn't in the book, you got a right to reject that. But if I'm in the book, what should you be doing? What should you be doing? Believing the word.
Yeah.
Because if I'm in the book and you don't believe the word, truthfully, you can't be flowing in the spirit because his word is spirit and life.
Yeah.
So what should we be doing right now as God is saying, hey, I'm extending this season of breakthroughs, miracles, miraculous, economic increase in your life. What's your role? What's your role right now?
Believe
the word.
That's right.
Don't go looking for another.
Yeah.
Don't go chasing after people. There are going to be some people God will tell you to minister to. If he didn't tell you that's your mission in this season, leave them alone because they ain't ready to come to get him yet. Some people, all people come to God when the Spirit draws them. So you can be chasing after somebody, a fish that don't want to be catched, to be caught, and you be running away from opportunities God has already set you up for. How do you know that if you catch a fish, it's got to want to be caught?
Yeah.
A full fish don't eat bait.
Yeah, that's good.
Some people, they think their lives are so put together, no matter what you give them from God, they don't want it. A full fish don't want the bait you got.
Yeah.
So why don't you just go, say, God is extending the season for me. I'm not telling you, they said, don't chase full fish.
Don't chase full fish. That was good.
That's good.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So God is doing something. Go to Amos 9. Are you in Amos 9?
Yes, sir.
Because we're to trust God. We are to accept his word as true. And watch this. Because people always tell people, Sister Avery, you cast down imaginations.
That's right.
Yeah. Which ones? Not them all. Where the Holy Ghost is moving. When God started putting things in your imagination that you really can't comprehend it all, he has placed you in a divine moment to where your breakthrough or your blessing can't be restricted. And if you'll let your mind and your imagination go with God, you'll be surprised at the things that God would have given you or do through you. He's positioning you for a no eye has seen moment. Because most of the time, if you can see, whatever you can see, your eyes can't keep up with your imagination. But your brain can restrict its ability. Your eyes can't keep up with your imagination, but your mind can restrict its ability. So God can be talking about, hey, I want you to buy into GG's. It's only one in all of Colorado Springs. And guess what? When you start selling cupcakes, they won't be a dollar. People will pay $7 for them. And guess what? Starbucks done went out of business, and they're going to left your building wide open. All your coffee machines, all your pastry stuff is in there. Why? Because he said, I don't want you to have to sell one. I'm trying to bring economic empowerment and jobs to the church. I don't want you to just have one of them buildings. As they shut down another one, I want you to go get the Dutch Brothers building too. I want you to go get with that?
Yes, God.
Say, we're in extended breakthrough time. Extended breakthrough time. Extended. When are you satisfied for the breakthrough? When God get done.
Amen.
When are you to be satisfied with a blessing? When God is done blessing you, now I'll be content in that. But if he ain't done blessing me, I ain't gonna be content, because if God has said you won't be happy with it. Okay, y'all making me record. Amos 9. So I'm getting ready. So
I'm getting ready.
For my next level of breakthroughs. Amos 9:13. I don't really have a lot today on people. He says, watch this. Behold, the days are coming. Your future is now for some of you. Things that God has been showing you is now. Your future is now. What do you do when your future ain't the future no more? Your future is the now. You release faith for it. Because now faith is.
Yeah.
But when your future is present, you release faith for it. Because now I got to believe God. I got to allow my imagination, that's up under the control of the Holy Ghost, to go loose. At least I don't leave things undone, and I don't get everything that God wants me to have. When my past is my future or my presence, I release faith for that. Say it's right now. He says, said the Lord, he says that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. I ministered that one time about God sometimes will accelerate timetables. Do you remember that?
Yes,
that God will sometimes, and it puts you in a season, and it's really, really, it seemed like, you know, you can, if you get in the flesh, it'll seem like it's overwhelming you. Because things will be happening so quick for you that you'll be like, man, I can't really keep up with this. Every time I turn around, every time I go to the bank, every time I go to the get up and check my bank account, there's something new in there. Every time I open up my door, people bringing me groceries. Every time, this is happening. And like every other week, something's happening. And you're also saying, you know what, man, something got to happen. Something negative got to happen. Why something negative got to happen if God is blessing you? Nothing negative got to happen because God is blessing you. How about God just want to bless you?
Yeah.
And when he tells you in the scriptures, if I'm for you, who can really be against you? When I want to bless you, what attack can you feel in your life? No matter if they show up, they don't prosper. Say, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to
work.
It's not going to work. So he says, well, these scriptures are talking to me. I'm trying to go somewhere. He says, and the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drip sweet wine. What happens when the mountains? What happens when the mountains drip sweet wine? Well, this stuff is hot off the press. What happens when the mountains drip sweet wine to you? Your joy becomes full. You start enjoying your life again. Who wants to live and you can't enjoy your life? I'm saying, just take me on to be the Lord. I mean, I don't want to live on the, I'm just talking for me. I'm talking for me. I don't want to live on the earth and be miserable. Now there's no believer. Right? And some of you are miserable because you won't get up under the mountain and just open up your mouth and let the sweet wine drip in. But I'm telling you, if you'll look up, see, you're looking down too much. You're looking down too much. You got to look up, find your heel, and get up under it, and spiritually just open up your mouth and see on God do something for you.
Amen.
Sweet wine. Say sweet wine.
Sweet wine.
I ain't talking about class 6 alcoholics. I'm talking about heavenly wine. Say sweet wine.
Sweet wine.
Yeah, somebody y'all talking about class 6. Here I come. He says, now bring again the captivity of my people. What is this captivity? It's captivity he's talking about. That word is actually prosperity. That's what that word is. Pay attention to me. That's when God is trying to bless you. He says, and they'll build the wasted cities and inhabit them. Boy, you better pay attention. I've been trying not to tell people what to do, but it'd be so obvious. He said, why don't you do it? Because I work for God. If I wasn't working for God, I could do it. Some things he put in my head, Sister Erica, I can't even explain it. Literally, I can't explain it, but, you know, I'm not school trained. We used to have a lot of real estate conversations, and I could be explaining stuff to her that she's going through class in. I just can't explain it. Say, this is good ground, this is good ground, this is good ground.
Amen.
This is good ground. He says, as they drink the wine thereof, they shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. I'll plant them upon their land, and there shall no more be poured up out of their land, which I have given them, says the Lord. God is putting a stop to the devil taking stuff from you.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
God is trying, he is going to put a stop to the loss in your life.
Amen.
God is going to put a stop to setbacks.
Amen.
In your life. He says, thus says the Lord. So anybody need an immediate breakthrough? Immediate move of God. I need an immediate move. So what's this going to take? What is it going to take for us again? Believe God. What is it going to take? Believe God at his word.
Yep.
Let's keep going. He says, let me just read this to you. God says, some of you are in some seemingly impossible moments, and your promised change seems impossible. I gotta read it exactly. But he says, believe me for an immediate change. Say an immediate change.
Immediate change.
I already told you, don't make no sudden moves. Don't go looking for another. For an immediate change, he says, believe me for immediate breakthrough. Say immediate breakthrough.
Immediate.
And that's what he said, don't give up. He says he can raise you up and restore you to in your life to what it was supposed to look like.
Amen.
See, because some of us are living good, but it ain't what God showed you.
Yep.
You got a good person, but they ain't where God showed you they're supposed to be at.
Amen.
You in a good, I mean, you in a great city, whether you believe it or not. Matter of fact, one of the top five fastest growing cities in the entire country. And God got you here. Now, do you think he want all these people to move in and bless them and you was the first? No, mark your spot and carve out your inheritance.
Amen.
Get you a rental property.
Amen.
Or two.
Amen.
Or three.
Amen.
Or four. Or five of them.
Come on.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
No, he said, get in the mindset that I'm trying to do something for you. And so, here's the thing. He said to remind you that you're not just a woman, but you're a woman of God.
Amen.
That counts for something.
Amen.
You're not just a man, you're a man of God.
Amen.
I said that counts for something. You're not just a Christian,
yep,
you're a believer. Do you know that a Christian gets saved by believing, but all Christians are not believers?
Right. Say it again.
What did he say? A Christian gets saved by believing in Christ, but not all Christians are believing, because the just live by faith continually. See, if you're not believing God every single day to do something that he didn't do the day before, you automatically start backsliding. You'll start going back to old behaviors, old thinking, old stomping ground, because you're comfortable with that. But a Christian gets saved by believing, but not all Christians are believers.
Amen.
What does God want us to do in this season?
Believe
him. Believe him. Anything you're looking at and complaining about, you ain't believing God for better.
Amen.
You're a Christian, but you ain't a believer. I'm helping somebody really good. Anytime you look at a situation that God placed your feet in and you always negative about it, that doesn't, you're a Christian, you're on your way to heaven, but you're not a believer. What should a believer do?
Believe.
Believers believe. What should a Christian be doing?
Believe.
But all Christians aren't believers. They believe to get saved. And that says, you can get saved by faith and never live by the faith you got saved by. So what does God want us doing? Help me out. Believing. If you will open up your spiritual ears and just listen to what God is trying to tell you, he'll reposition and recondition your entire life and your livelihood. You complain too much. You whine. You know why you keep going around the mountain? Because you got the mindset of an Israelite. And they wandered in the wilderness because all they did was complain around the mountain. And every time they got to the same spot, they complained about it. And they complained about it. And they'll stop for a minute and they'll eat up all the manna from heaven, all the breakthroughs and the blessings. And every time they see that same problem, they kept complaining about it. And no, God was trying to get them to speak to the mountain so they can get to their promised land. You know why you ain't got to your promised land? Because all you do is whine and complain.
Good.
What should a believer be doing?
Believe. Come on.
And he tells us, he says, we believe and therefore we speak. That's what Paul says. We being of the same spirit of faith. We believe and therefore we speak. What? What the word says.
Yeah.
What the word says. What the word. You know, We've been just as guilty as other people in the past, but I think God has kind of corrected. He's corrected us and say, hey, don't say that. You can't say that. You can't talk the problem. You got a prophetic voice in you. What you say will come to pass in a person's life. You can't say that about people because you're created like God in his image. What does that mean? You ever wonder what he meant, Sister Erica, when he says having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof? The form of godliness means that you can do things like God does it, but you can do things with the ability that God gave you, but you don't always do it like him. In essence, you can use your words to tear somebody down because you created like God and your words got power.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to help somebody up here today.
Yes, sir.
So people got a form of godliness. They created in his image. They are tripart being. They body, soul, spirit. They spirit over all the other things that's in them. They are soul and spirit, just like God created them in his image. But they deny the power, what God wants to do. Why? Because his word is spirit and they won't speak it. All they do is complain around the mountain.
Amen. That's
good. Don't look at nobody. Say, K-Y-M-S. Keep your mouth shut until you got a word from God about the situation. Say KYMS. Keep your mouth shut until you got a word from God about that problem. KYMS. Keep your mouth shut until your healing manifests. Don't talk yourself back into a spiritual coma again.
Yeah.
Matthew 9. This is going to be real good. I like this. Matthew 9. So what should we be doing, believers? Or Christians. What should we be doing, Christians? Because you only get saved one time. So if you believe that Christ is, you're saved. But do you stop believing there? I got a problem with people who don't want people doing that.
Right.
If I gave you, you ain't got no license. If I gave you, you got license? You ain't talking to you. If I gave you, if I bought a Tesla, I might have to find me something else, man, because they got some problem, a lot of problem with them screens up in there. And if my iPad don't work when I get up in there, we're not going to have no talk with Jesus. We're going to have a talk with Elon Musk. But if I gave you a Tesla, if I wanted to give you a Tesla, what would you do? Thank you, and he'd take it. He'd take it. Why is it when God put people in a blessed season, they act like they don't know how to respond by taking it and saying
yeah.
thank you?
Yeah.
That's good.
Amen. Isn't God being good to you better than the devil being bad to you? Don't you not know how to receive that if God is being good to you?
Yes.
It's almost like you've conditioned yourself to be built for pain.
Amen.
When really you've been created to be blessed.
Amen.
that we've conditioned ourselves to be to act like we're supposed to experience hardship all the time, when actually you've been created to have an abundance. And Jesus says, and more abundantly. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Why do we, when God's trying to bless you, say, I'm going to receive it? You don't say, no. In Matthew 9, are you in Matthew 9? I was reading something this morning, Sister Sarah, and it's in 2 Peter 1. And the scripture says, I may teach this next week, that you are created in God's image and you can partake of God's divine nature. Do you know when you read that, 2 Peter 1:3, when you read that, Sister Avery, the way that you take, become a partaker of God's divine nature, he tells us in that same scripture, he says, you do it by receiving what God has promised you. Every promise, boy, this is really good to me. Every promise that God gives you, he's trying to get you to participate with his divine nature.
Amen.
To grow into the image, be conformed to the image that he created you to be in. He does that by giving you a supernatural ability to overshadow a supernatural problem. And the only way that you can do it is that you must receive a promise that he infused his divine nature in, and that helps you to be an overcomer. So, is there a promise that God gives you, Sister Sarah, that's beyond his ability? No. Nothing God can promise you is beyond his ability. If he knew he couldn't do it, why he promised it? Say amen to this.
Amen.
So if God can do it, why we whining? Is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything that God promised you that he can't fulfill? Can you leave the earth and not get everything he promised? Is it a problem on God's end? No, I'm going to show you where the problem is at. And then in Matthew 9, Jesus explains this. 27, and Jesus passed on from there. Two blind men following him. This is important. Watch this. And they were crying aloud to him, have mercy on us, son of David. Why are they calling him the son of David? That because they knew the Bible. They knew the word. Brother Avery, and in Isaiah 9 and 7, it said that the Messiah would be born of the seed of David. So they acknowledging that Jesus is the Messiah, they believe that he is, and if they believe that he is, then they know that there's nothing that he can't do. They also know in Matthew, I believe it's Isaiah 25 or somewhere up in there, 18, it's going talking about that the Messiah was going to come, watch this, to give sight to the blind. Isn't it important that you know what the Bible has promised you so that you can go after it? And no matter if people tell you no, God has already said in his word yes. You get faith from that. You can believe past the difficulty. You can believe past the setbacks, the loss, everything. Because if I know what God has said, there's nothing that's beyond his ability. When I get a word from God, I don't doubt God. What should I be doing? Chasing around for another prophetic word. What should I be doing?
Amen.
No, going to find another church. What should I be doing?
Amen.
No, I'm going to go give me another God. I'm going to look for another. What should I be doing?
Amen.
No, I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Why? Because his hand is extended to the person that believes in his word. Do you believe the word of God this morning?
Amen.
I say, do you believe it? Not that you've heard it. Do you know how many people, Minister Avance, God be trying to instill faith in them to take them to a place of breakthrough and promise? But you know what their problem be? I heard that word before.
Huh.
Obviously, it didn't work for you. That's why God let you listen to it again. I heard that word before. How many times God give you a repeat word or a phrase in the church and you turn it off? Well, I can go to the bathroom. I can walk around the parking lot. I can go eat some Cheetos, Doritos, or Fritos because I done heard that before. No, you ain't got enough faith for it. That's why God sends repeat words so he can build you up in that area. Are you still interested? So watch this. They cried out loud for him to heal them. Can you be crying out loud in prayer and not have no faith to believe anything after you finish praying?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times people be loud in prayer. They don't have no faith after the prayer is over.
Yeah.
They were crying out to God. I would attribute that to like prayer. They talking to God.
Amen.
But do you have faith in God's ability after the prayer is over? They kept on pressing, brother. Jesus said, Jesus, I believe, deliberately ignores them. Do you know why? Because sometimes people act like they believe in God, but they don't cry long enough for them to receive from God. They act like they want the breakthrough, but they don't really go after it. And I believe Jesus was deliberately ignoring them to see how bad do you really want it. Touch your neighbor and say, how bad do you really want it? How bad do you really want it? How bad do you really want it? Because they never stopped. Jesus, matter of fact, the scripture says that Jesus goes up in his house and they took their blind self right up under the bed. Let's read it. When he entered the house, the blind man went right in the house where Jesus was staying. They persisted. Why? Because they knew he could heal them. Why are they going to be looking for another if they believe that Jesus can do it? If you really believe I was the man of God, why are you always on somebody else's Facebook? If you believe that God was feeding you here, why are you all up on Brian and Juanita and Jakes and Dollar?
Amen.
If you really thought you was getting fed,
that's good.
And if it was really good, why wouldn't you just eat that?
Amen.
I'm preaching real good.
Amen.
So they knew they got the word, so they weren't looking for another. They knew they was getting fed. They knew that if they was going to be healed, Jesus was going to have to do it. Why you got to look for another? Because truthfully, them looking for another demonstrates they had lack of faith in the source. Jesus was never the problem. Watch this. Just like I'm not your problem.
Amen.
Say, Pastor, not my problem. Watch what Jesus do to us, Sister Kenan. Jesus does them like this. He says, watch this. This is going to help somebody. Do you believe I'm able to do this? This is what Jesus asked them, Sister Pastor. He said, do you believe I'm able to do this? What they said? Yes, Lord. Then Jesus touched their eyes. Watch this. What did he say? Deacon Strange, what did he say? He says, this is so powerful. He says, it's according to your faith. You want to work for Phil your whole life, work for him. Nothing wrong with that. You get a paycheck every month. There's nothing wrong with that. If you want to be your own dealership and broker, he says it's according to your faith. Watch this. According to your faith, it will be done, performed, executed, finished to you. According to God. Listen to me. According to your faith, it will be done for you, performed for you, executed through you, finished for you. What is Jesus saying? Don't blame me for your finished results. Don't blame me for the finished results of your prayers. Watch this. I finish and produce the manifestation at the level of your faith. He produces it. Your manifestation or lack of it is produced at the level of your faith. God honors your faith.
Yeah.
He says it's according to your faith. He says, I'm going to answer your prayer because it is the will of God for me to answer your prayers, but I am only going to perform it, execute it, and finish it to the level that you believe. Should we be trying to get our faith up in this season?
Yeah.
I say, should we be trying to get our faith up in this season? I'm going to finish it at the level you believe it at. This explains why people don't get total healed. This explains it. He finishes, he answers your prayer at the level that you believe. How many believe God can heal you totally? How many know a partial breakthrough ain't really a breakthrough at all? If one of my legs still don't work, it ain't really, you know, I'm thankful for the one I can hop on, but I would have rather have two where I can run on. I thank God that all my bills are paid, but it ain't enough for my children that lack in their life, and I don't have no reserve to give unto them, and I can't give unto the house of God, and I can't do what I really want to do. I can't travel where I want to travel. I can't eat what I want to eat. I can't go to the doctor without my choice. I got to go to the doctor that'll only step free medical care. But when I drop my blue cross, blue shield down, that I paid for,
amen,
God answers you.
Amen.
Some of you going to come out of some shacks and you're going to go into some mansions.
Yes.
And you're going to be able to see your kids when you want to see them.
Amen.
Let them get lost in the house. Now, you hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
I'm going to say my folks will get let them run around your house. Let them get lost for a minute. But I'm going to come back and get them next week. But
that's all right.
How many want God to bless you like that? He's finishing your prayers where you believe at. There should be no lack in our lives.
That's right.
There should be no sickness in our lives.
That's right.
There should be no divorce in our lives. He answers your prayers at the level you believe. They're going to get saved one day. My husband, my wife, my children are going to get saved one day. Well, one day you might be dead and gone and never even see it. Why don't we believe God that he can save them today? One day, someday, I'm going to, I'm about to. Tell somebody, your yesterday is today. Come on, say, my yesterday is today.
My yesterday
is today. I'm going to believe God right now. My yesterday is today. I'm coming up today. I'm going to be free today. I'm going to be happy today. I'm not going to wait for a new house, a new car, a promotion, or a job. I want my joy for it
right now.
Some of you can joy being for it
right now.
In Jesus' name. Can you take a few moments? Give God a hand praise right there. Don't stand to your feet and give him a good praise. I'm not done, but give him a good praise. No, give him I believe what he has sent to my man of God today. Praise. I believe my yesterday is today. My tomorrow is right now. And my breakthrough, I'm living. I got about five more minutes today. You got to get your faith up. Say, get my faith. Get your faith up. Get your faith up. So we shouldn't be settling for no partial breakthroughs. I got to give you this last little piece. Partial healings. Bills made, no reserve. Situation so bad, it's done got better, but it ain't what you desire. God answering, it's got better because he's answering the prayer at the level of your faith. We don't argue as much as we used to, but you still argue all the time because he's answering your prayer. Go back to Amos 9. Say, we're in an extended season of blessings. An extended season of blessing. Isn't that good news? Maybe that's why I was so happy this morning. I get happy when I think God gonna bless me. I get happy when he ain't happy, you know. When he ain't blessing me, you know. I'm happy. But I get real happy when he blesses me. Oh, you hear what I'm saying? I thank God that my name is sealed in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm happy about that.
Amen.
But I'm going to be really happy when they send us that. They can mess around and send me a second stimulus check if they want to. They send me any stimulus check. By the time they figure out I ain't supposed to have that thing, I'm going to be able to pop that thing so quick. They send me anything. I'm bringing out that mobile phone. We're going to split that puppy right down the half and split it up.
Amen.
I'm not talking to anybody over here. Let somebody make a mistake and put $1 million up in my account and see if I can make an extra up. It's supposed to be there. I'm going to go up in there with my wife pocketbook and say, you know that thing up with all bills, brother. You want it all, sir? I want all of it. I put every line that I made a mistake. I'm getting it all. Big bill, small bill, whatever you got back there. I'll take whatever you got. Oh, your name is 9 and 14. Try to make a mistake if they want to. In Amos 9:14, this is my last scripture. Listen to this. This is going to help you. This is really going to help you. Seriously. He says, I will bring again the captivity of my people, and they shall build waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall make gardens and eat the fruit. This is what God put in my spirit, Sister Avery. He says some of you going to walk, some people are going to walk away from some homes that you're going to walk right into. Say amen to this. Because they wasted resources God gave them, and God going to give you that house to inhabit it. Say amen to this.
Amen.
He says some businesses are shutting down. Some of the businesses are going through new restructuring plans. Listen to me, because this is your word for somebody. He said they're going to vacate buildings, and God says, I'm going to give them to you. So I say, come on, Jesus. Shout, come on, Jesus. He says the very things that are no longer beneficial to them is going to be a turnaround blessing for you. Say, come on, Jesus. He said the very thing that is no longer beneficial to them. See, because here's how business works. Corporate America, watch this, Stephen Strange. If it's more beneficial for them to allow 1,000 people to lose their job and let that building go back, they restructure. They don't sell that Toys R Us building, we're going to get that. But because Toys R Us restructured. So that building is no benefit to them. Even if they take it as a substantial loss, they still get some money out of the deal, so they walk away from it. So they won't keep pumping money into a losing situation. No matter how good you are, if you ain't making the money, then they're going to fire you. They call it terminate. They're going to terminate you because you're not making me no money. So through restructuring, it's not beneficial to you, but to them. But when you move into the building and you put your sign up there, the building that was worth $1 million, because it's a business in that building, now it's $2 or $3 million worth of equity in the building because it's occupied now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so while you walking past it, not only will God give you a building, he'll let you pull all the equity out and get you some gold teeth if you want them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because God has positioned his people for an extended season of blessings and breakthrough. So he's talking to me. And so he says, don't question me in this season. What should we be doing? What should we be doing? We should be believing him. So I got to give this last point. Why does God extend? I couldn't figure it out. I know he matches when the devil is attacking. God won't let the devil out of you. That's true. But there's some people that miss this first wave. I'm talking to some of you now because I see it. When you read Amos and you go back, God had basically made certain things inaccessible to them, even though they were his. He wouldn't let them in. So that 14, whatever, he's talking about the people who came back. What God is doing for people who were already in the first wave, he's going to allow you to experience the second wave because you've been obedient the whole time. But what God had placed in my heart, Sister Frieda, was this, is that he is extending this season because there are people that belong to him that missed the first wave because they were rebellious and they were disobedient and they were in some form of sin that God couldn't bless them. And so a lot of time people will hear a word like this and they'll be in sin and they'll automatically try to bring that word into their life and it won't work for them because they'll be stuck in sin. But God is saying all you got to do is turn and repent and live and get in this breakthrough moment, and he's extended it. Why? Because you still belong to him. But this is what God says. He says, listen to me. He said, don't let your deeds cause you to be caught up in a season where I'm going to judge some other people. See, a lot of people are being judged during this time, but yet you're being blessed in the same season. A lot of people are losing in this time, but yet you keep going up in this season. A lot of people are going through divorce in this time, but yet your marriage is becoming stronger and solidified. You can't get caught up and get judged in a season because you want to look for something other than what God... And I just had to tell people, you're going to change some things to get in this moment. Say, this is a miracle moment. Say, don't mess this moment up. He says, don't let your deeds cause you to be in a season where you were supposed to have been blessed, cause you to get caught up when I'm judging things in the earth right now. Why does God got to judge some things? Because he's holy. If God don't judge some things, then he ain't holy. Do you know why some people come to church and then everybody around them going up and it seems like God be allowing them to be taught? Because he can't allow you to come in, especially if you're being used by him to do all kind of foolishness, do all kind of foolishness apart from him, and then you're going to come in and be used by him. You know he got to judge them.
Yes.
And he said, okay, the first time I allowed the locust and the cankerworm and the caterpillar to come in and eat up all your stuff, and then I gave it back to you, but that didn't change you.
Oh my.
Am I talking to anybody? I allowed you to get the house. I allowed you to get the job, the car, the man, the woman, whatever it was that you wanted, but that didn't change you. No, you want to have other gods before me. No, it's time to push some altars over. It's time to go to our home and push some altars over. Not move them to another room. Not hide them. No, push them over. Why? Because you chose somebody else. You've been looking for another. All God done for you, and you're going to look for another. You're going to leave God. Now, I got to give balance to this. I know I done blessed you. You done had some blessing moment, but I got to help some other people right now. Can you take it?
Amen.
I said, can you take it?
Amen.
You done had that moment. You good. I hope you good. But there's some things that's happening where people are being judged. And how many know that sometimes you can be judged because of your ignorance? So God give you information. He give people the word. They don't want the word. They be looking for another preacher.
Yep.
Somebody that can sing better, talk better, run better, stir better, hum better. And God be giving them exactly what they need to survive. God be giving them the exact word that'll turn their life around, that'll help their marriage. I hear what pastors say, but I'm not going to do it. I hear what co-pastors say, I'm not going to do it. I hear the prophet's word that God gave a word. And we'll say, no, it's for somebody else. Say, no, it's for you. And God gave that word because he was trying to position people to get in this extended period of blessings and breakthrough. And he, should we be listening? What are we to do? We believe the report of the Lord when he sent it. If God sends you a strong word, even if it challenges you and make you cry, it's not a bad word if it calls you to repent and get back in the blessed moment. You don't run from a hard word, because when God leaves you alone and you know you're in sin, now you got some issues. But as long as conviction is setting in and you feel convicted about what's going on, how many of the Holy Ghost has not let you alone?
Yeah.
And when you can come into a place, you can come into a place and you know you're not living right and you don't feel convicted, then something is wrong.
Yeah.
Say, God, deal with me, deal with me, deal with me. Don't get caught up in this season when God want to bless you. Don't get caught up where it's in judgment when you could have been walking in a breakthrough. Say amen to this.
Amen.
So watch this. Let's stand and get out of here. But let's just say this one. Say, this is my open door season.
This is my open door season.
Say, this is my open door season.
This is my open door season.
Shout it. Say, this is my open door season.
This is my open door season.
Now say this real loud if you don't mind. Say, the Lord is prospering me right now.
The Lord is prospering me.
In this season of breakthroughs, say, the Lord is prospering me right now. Say, God is taking away all of my sickness. Say, I will not die before my appointed time. Say, God will continue to increase me. Release my inheritance. Say, abandoned property is mine. Commercial property is mine. Rental property is mine. And what the devil has stolen from me, stolen from my forefathers, stolen from my grandparents, stolen from my parents, is being returned to me now. Shout it again. Say, the Lord is prospering me now. Say, God has taken away my sickness and all diseases. Say, I will not die before my time. Say, God will continue to increase me and release my inheritance. Abandoned property is mine. Commercial property is mine.
Rental property is mine. What the devil has stolen from me. Stolen from my forefathers, my grandparents, and my parents. It's been returned to me now. Now say it with some authority from the Holy Ghost. Say, the Lord has prospered me right now. He has taken away sickness and disease from me. Say, I won't die before my appointed time. Say, Corona cannot kill me. Say, God will continue to increase me and release my inheritance. Abandoned property is mine. Commercial property is mine. Rental property is mine. And what the enemy has stolen from my forefathers, my grandparents, my parents, it's been returned unto me right now. Now you can take your God and praise right there. Put a praise on. 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 Praise it. Praise it. Praise it. It's yours. It's yours, say it's mine. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. It's mine. You're supposed to have the best medical care. Your kids are supposed to have the best medical care. The best physician team will look over your children when the enemy tries to attack their body. And they'll be able to pinpoint what the sickness or the disease is with accuracy. And God will use them for your child's great act to heal them. In Jesus' name. Say, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Some of you don't get some rental properties in this city. You notice I said some rental properties in this city. And people have walked away from it. And God has allowed weeds to grow up in front of it, and they have put boards over your windows. I'm giving you the picture of what it looks like. But when you look, you walk in the inside. Lord, the floors gonna be on the inside. Chandeliers gonna be hanging up on the inside. The best appliances are gonna be sitting there, waiting for you, waiting for you. In Jesus' name, I'm done. Give God a hand praise. Give the angel a hand praise. Hey, if you're walking in sin, get out of sin. If people look out on you and you're walking in sin, you repent today. You repent before the Lord today. Because God wants you to be blessed, and if people are under you, he wants them blessed. But he won't bless a sinner. The only thing he blesses a sinner with is grace and mercy and salvation. Other than that, things run in course. Some of you in this ministry, and I know everything ain't right, and nobody expects your life to always be squeaky clean. But you know what? Confession and repentance is an amazing thing. It makes you back, come right back to God's righteousness. Come on, say, just like that, just like that, just like that. And you don't have to keep on paying God back every day. Definitely don't pay no people back. I mean, when I say pay them back, don't let them hold you in condemnation when the Lord has set you free. Say, I'm free indeed. I ain't got nothing to prove to you. I'm trying to prove unto the Lord. Father, we thank you right now for the preached word, the spoken word. We thank you right now. You are God who would never let the devil out of here. And that you are matching his chaos in the world with blessings, breakthroughs, healings, and deliverance for your people. But let us not miss this moment. God, I steps around people that will talk us out of miracle moments. People of influence in our life that yet don't believe the report of the Lord. That we may have ear to hear you and only you in this hour. Father, we thank you right now, God, for wasted land and wasted property in this city being given unto your people. Vineyards, God, being left, God, with excessive amount of equity in that property. Let it be given unto your people in the name of Jesus. Take us out of the wilderness wandering, where we complain and moan and grumble. Let us be for Christians that believe, and believe continually in your ability. Father God, we ask that you would increase our faith in this hour, that we may be able to pull in anything that you have in this hour.
Come on, just lift your hand up and say, Lord, just increase my faith. Help me to believe, help me to believe, help me to believe. No, say that in your own mouth. God, increase our faith, increase our faith. Increase our faith to believe to the level of our imagination. The things that you've given in our hearts, the things that we see no way in happening for us. Increase our faith, God. Increase our ability to believe that you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. Father, we thank you for the expansion of imagination. That limited thinking, lift your hand up real high. Limited thinking is being broken off of your mind. Every cord that has you locked into limited thinking, that there will be no restrictions placed on your mind or your ability to believe God in this hour. That you will testify of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Truly the Lord is good unto those that believe in him and his ability. And Father God, we thank you for it. We thank you for extending this season for us. We're going to enjoy it and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, give God a celebratory praise right there. Give him a good praise.